You know, we've looked at the first three verses, and my heart has been stirred by them. I hope your heart has been stirred as well, to consider the wonderful blessings that are ours in Christ. We are pilgrims. We're on the pilgrim journey, and we are raised with Christ, seated in heavenly places with Him, called to seek the things that are above. And how safe and secure we are in Him. We had that also, that our life is hidden with Christ in God. Just when we were talking about the enemies before, I thought of that plaque that's, by the way, still hanging in the kitchen. Someone told me that it's just been moved, not recently, but where it is. Bunyan says, "What danger is the pilgrim in? How many are his foes? How many ways there are to sin? No living mortal knows." You who've worked right there at the Potboy Sink, you probably see that sign and have it memorized. There are so many foes that come against us, but don't forget that Jesus can keep us, and He does keep us safe. Our life is hidden with Christ in God. Brother Ken came to me yesterday and showed me an illustration, and I wish I could show it to you this morning, but you have to use your imagination. He had a dime, and I, silver and gold have I none. He had a dime in his pocket, and he said, "This is you." Okay? And he said, he put me in his palm, in his hand here, and he said, "Your life is hid with Christ in God." That's what he said. He says, "Isn't that simple?" I said, "Isn't that beautiful?" I said, "Yeah, that's very nice." Your life is hid with Christ in God. Jesus is able to keep us, and He does. And also, isn't it wonderful to know that we're in His hand, in the Father's hand, and nothing can pluck us out of His hand, and nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. But today we come to our hope, when Christ, who is our life. Caleb, that was good. I'm glad you used this and learned this. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. This speaks about a public revelation. Jesus is coming again. I believe that the Apostle Paul here is pointing forward to that day. I quoted from the Gospels where Jesus said, then shall the righteous, oh, that's how it is in Mendelssohn, then. Jesus just said, then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of my Father. Our lives are now hidden with Christ in God. We were raised with Christ. We are hidden in Him. And one day we shall appear with Him in glory. His revelation, His manifestation shall be ours. Yesterday someone was speaking to me about how the world doesn't know us. 1 John 3, we refer to that, because it knew Him not. And then they added this, and I know this thought was in my mind. It didn't come out when I was speaking yesterday, but I'm so glad that Brother Dale brought this to my attention. Not only does the world not know us as it did not know Him, the world, the unbelieving world, the ones whom the God of this world has blinded, they don't want what we have. They don't want it. They didn't want what He came to bring them, and they don't want what we have either. They see us, and they see us in our humiliation, in our trials, and testings. And they say, what is that all about? I'm going to strive for happiness and pleasure in this life, and all that, and all that we have turned our backs on. Jesus, I my cross have taken, all to leave and follow thee. Destitute, despised, forsaken, thou from hence my all shalt be. Perish every fond ambition, all I've sought and hoped and known. Yet how rich is my condition. God and heaven are still my own. They can't see that. They just can't see that. There's no way they can see that until God opens their eyes to see it. Remember that wonderful song, I love to sing glorious things of thee are spoken, Zion, city of our God. We talked about the city of God to which we belong. God formed that city, the song says, John Newton wrote it, for his own abode. On the rock of ages founded, what can shake thy sure repose? With salvation's walls surrounded, thou mayest smile at all thy foes. Are you smiling at me or at a foe? That means that you don't have to be afraid of them, because you are in God and Christ is in you. But one of the verses says, Savior, if of Zion's city I through grace a member am, let the world deride or pity. I will glory in thy name. Fading is the worldling's pleasure, all his boasted pomp and show. Solid joys and lasting treasure none but Zion's children know. God, write that in our hearts. Could you do something for us to help us to see that the fashion of this world is passing away? It's passing away. I was at a wedding once. Only once did this happen. There was such a strong sermon at that wedding. Usually it's, you know, all about loving one another as it should be, and living together, and being a blessing in God's kingdom. And this one was from Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 7. That the time is short, and the time is here when if you're married, it should be as though you're not. Can you imagine at a wedding? The fashion of this world is passing away. And it stirred, it touched all our hearts. Oh my, I still remember that. We have to live as unto the Lord. We're His. And that has to come first before every earthly affection. I said yesterday, a quote from Havergal, Lord Jesus, make thyself to me a living bright reality, more dear, more intimately nigh than e'en the closest earthly tie. I skipped something, but that's the part I wanted. Even the closest earthly tie, O Lord Jesus. There's a union, there's a closeness. Our lives are hidden with you. And we welcome the cross. We embrace the cross. All hail. That's in one of the Ter Stegen books. I don't know if it was by him. But all hail, he says, the cross and the pain. Say, well, what got into him? You know, but there's something about it. Identifying with Christ and knowing the fellowship of his sufferings. Paul wanted that above everything else. He counted everything else. He put it all behind him. All the things that could recommend him or commend him, he put it all behind him for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, his Lord, for whom he had suffered the loss of all things. First things first, right? What a wonderful blessing it is that we are dead, our lives are hid with Christ in God, but that he is our life. And one day, as sure as we're sitting here, he shall appear. Unbelievers say, let God speak. Let Christ show himself. And one day, they're not going to be able to disbelieve anymore, for every eye shall see him. But will they receive him with joy? Will they be thrilled to see our Lord the Savior face to face? Will they love him? Will they welcome him? The Bible tells us that if they don't love him and believe on him here as the Savior who bled for them and died for them on Calvary, they won't love him and welcome him when he comes to rule them with a rod of iron, when he comes to dash them in pieces. Well, the demons also, we read, believe and tremble. In James, we read that, but that's not saving faith. That's not faith that brings them to bow and to love the Lord Jesus. The Lord's appearing in glory will be a joy for us who praise him now and who prize him now. Those whose hearts he has won will rejoice. What a precious promise this is. And just as an aside, if you look this verse up in Faith's Checkbook by Spurgeon, you'll have a great blessing. I believe it's there, and if not, I will tell you tonight what I'm referring to. All right, but that's just for those who are interested in that and who know what I'm speaking about. But already we read he is our very life, and someday he's going to be visible to us, emerge from that hidden place, that invisibility. He'll come forth in true splendor. That life will be manifested. That life is already in us, but it's going to flame forth. That rapturous meeting when we see him face to face and our bodies are changed and we are glorified with us. We're transformed into living replicas of the Lord himself. I'm so glad we looked at 1 John 3 in our church. When I spoke about Colossians 3, I noticed some of the parallels between the beginning of Colossians 3 and the beginning of 1 John 3. You are risen with Christ. You are children of God. Colossians 3, you are risen with Christ. 1 John 3, you are children of God. Colossians 3, your life is hid with Christ. 1 John 3, it does not yet appear what we shall be. Colossians 3, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. 1 John 3, when he shall appear, we shall be like him. I enjoy seeing that there are parallels there between Paul and John. And I just like to say, among all the saints whose hearts are awakened and who have this bright and shining and living hope in them, oh, that we might love his appearing. Oh, what a wonderful day that will be when his bride shall have made herself ready. How the joy shall fill our hearts and shall overflow, and he comes to receive his bride, his glorious bride, without spot or wrinkle, unto himself. And that life and that light will shine forth unhindered. We shall appear with him in glory, raised with him from the depths, hidden with him in the heights, as we said last night, and one day to appear with him in glory. Lord, we thank you for this hope. Won't you touch our hearts? We remember the prayer that the Apostle Paul prayed for the saints at Rome, that the God of hope would fill them with all joy and peace in believing, that they would abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. We can't conjure up this hope within us. You place it there. Cause it to be strengthened today. Cause it to abound today through the power of the Holy Spirit in all of our hearts. We will one day see you. We will see you as you are. And oh, how we thank you that that sight is something that we have begun to see here. We have begun to see you with the eyes of our hearts by faith, and we are already overcome by your beauty, and you are already changing us as we behold you in the Spirit. You are changing us from glory to glory into the same image. We thank you for the work that has begun, and we are trusting and believing that you are able to perform that work until the day of Christ, to carry it forward to its glorious completion. And so I pray that you will work in all of our hearts today as we have had this little thought before us. It's a little verse, but a great thought, a mighty, wonderful promise, a hope that you want filling our hearts with rapture divine. Hallelujah. Let it be, dear Lord. Let it be. Amen.